The first scripture reading is found in the book of Acts. It's on page 1175 in your pew Bibles. We read Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord has said to him in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said to him, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord has said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord has said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem? Those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in the book of Revelation. It's on page 1322. We read Revelation 5, beginning at verse 8. "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and a blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, page 1162 in your Bibles. And we read John 21, beginning at verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on our lesson from Acts for this morning, in particular from this section. But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord has said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is our text. They say that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, I can't speak to the truth of that because I've never owned a dog. However, most of the times I hear that phrase quoted is really not in reference to dogs, it's in reference to people. And to that issue, I can speak. You can teach old people new things. When my very first confirmands, after I entered into the office of holy ministry, was an 86-year-old woman who had been a Mormon all of her life. I can't say that she was a good Mormon. I didn't know if she went to what they call steakhouses. It's not where you eat a steak. It's because there's a steak on top of Mormon churches. I don't know if she attended that regularly, but I do know that she practices certain elements of the faith to the T. For instance, and one reason I can never become a Mormon, they can't drink coffee or any beverage with caffeine in it. It's verboten. That's German. For you non-Germans, it means forbidden. Or they can't drink alcoholic beverages, such as wine or beer. And contrary to the Iowa Hawkeyes, there is no scripture that says in heaven there is no beer. But I do know that she practiced those elements of the faith. She'd never had a cup of coffee, never had a drink of wine in her entire life. But her life was drawing to a close. And though she was well advanced in years, what she'd learned in Mormonism just didn't seem to satisfy. And even though she was a shut-in, at that old age, I was asked to come to her home and to teach her the Christian faith, which I did, and confirmed her, and not too long afterwards, sent her home to her loving and merciful Savior in heaven. Yes, people can change. People who you think were beyond change. And for what it's worth, she's one of several well advanced in years that throughout my ministry I've been able and privileged to confirm into the Lutheran Christian faith. We have another individual in our lesson for today who was thought to be beyond the ability to change. Not because he was well advanced in years in this particular case, but because he was filled with so much hatred and anger and fear of this religion which taught about a Jesus who died for our sins and rose from the dead to give us the hope of eternal life with him. When he was in Jerusalem, he was literally wreaking havoc. He was there when Stephen, the evangelist, was being stoned. And as his life was slipping away from him, at least his earthly life, the stones pelting him, they were laying their clothes at the feet of Saul, who was, I'm sure, if you will, egging the crowds on. and encouraging them. And he had gone to the chief priests. He was on a mission, not for God, but against him, at least as he understood God. And he wanted to go to Damascus, arrest people who might be confessing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and bringing them back bound to Jerusalem, probably to be put to death, if that was possible. So you can imagine Ananias's fear and amazement when God appears to him and asks him to go to visit Saul. It's not said in our text, but I would imagine he was thinking something like maybe we've thought at times. You know, there's certain people you just can't change. There's certain people that are never going to change. And the Lord's response to Ananias, who really didn't want to go, was, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine." Paul hadn't chosen God. God had chose him. And if you will, maybe it took a smack up the side of the head to get his attention. But God wanted Paul to know not only that he had chose him, but that person of Jesus Christ whom he was persecuting when he died on the cross had died for him, that he might have life. I point these things out to you this morning because perhaps there's times in our lives when we've given up on people. There's that person maybe you've talked to before, but you didn't get much of a response, and so you've just quit. Or maybe you did get a response, but it was mockery. Or maybe even anger. "Stop bugging me about this. It's my life. I'm going to live it the way I want to." Or maybe it's a person you just think is so evil. Oh, maybe they're not going around murdering people, but the life they live, oh, it's just beyond the pale. Or maybe it's somebody who's just, if you will, an old dog. And you've heard that saying, and you somewhat believe it, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's not just me telling you, but it's our Lord God who tells us and who provides us with countless examples in Scripture and in particular, whom we call the Apostle Paul, but this man, better known at one time as Saul. A person for whom Christ died, even though prior to his conversion, he didn't care. God so loved the world. And he so loved Paul. And those people that we have given up on in our lives, that he would bid us to go again, And God would also have us watch for opportunities. Maybe it's a person whose life is undergoing change. Maybe someone they cared about has recently died. Or maybe they were recently laid off. Or maybe their life has been filled with drugs or alcohol, and they're reaching, if you will, that bottom point. Or maybe their family life is collapsing. You know, there's a lot of ways that God gets our attention. And it's particularly at those moments in life that we need to be watching for. Because they are opportunities to again present the saving news about Jesus Christ. To those who have ruined their lives with what they may think to be unforgivable sins, to tell them about Jesus, who died and paid for their sins. About Jesus, who came to a man like Saul, who was a murderer of Christians, who counted himself, if you will, the worst of sinners, as Scripture says. And yet God chose him to be an instrument to carry his name before the Gentiles. And it's somewhat fascinating that as Paul continued to live out his Christian life, he wasn't afraid of his reputation following him. He talked about it in Scripture. Oh, he wasn't proud of the fact that he was there encouraging people to kill Stephen. He wasn't proud of the fact that he was a persecutor of Christians. But I can imagine him sitting down on many occasions with other individuals, maybe the kind of individual you know, who think that they've ruined their lives, that they are, if you will, unredeemable. And Paul saying to them, "Do you think you're bad? Let me tell you about me, what I was like, and yet how God chose me to bring the message of forgiveness, to bring the message of hope, to bring the message of eternal life to other people who think that they are lost. Is there some old dog that you know? Or maybe some, if you will, young person who seems lost? Someone you have gone to before and been rejected? Do not be afraid to go again. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, never stops reaching out to those who live in this world, seeking to save the lost. As Ananias was told to go to one, if you will, who seemed unredeemable, may God grant that we too go to those who seem forever lost and reach out to them again with that saving gospel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.